This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This is Good Morning Liberty.
Well, what is going on, all of my liberty-loving friends? Welcome back to another fantastic episode of the Good Morning Liberty podcast. My name is Chuck. With me, as always, the one who knows just about everything there is to know, but not everything, the former champion.
Didn't know where you were going with that, huh?
I couldn't even.
Champion of a lot of things.
I couldn't even come up with anything.
Yeah.
Not that you don't have any trophies in your trophy case, because I'm sure there's plenty of competitions there.
I got T-ball trophies.
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff. Mainly T-ball. That was my
mainly
list.
Mainly blue ribbons.
I won the DARE essay award when I was in the fifth grade because I wrote the best essay about not doing drugs. So I got to read that, and I have a DARE essay award. Very nice.
You must have never read that after he wrote it.
Guys, ever been a hypocrite before? So, no, that's everything that I have. I'm on a lot of drugs, but they're all prescribed by doctors, so it's okay.
Yeah. So the one speaking to you now is Mr. Nathaniel Paul Thurston. Thanks for joining us again today, Nate. It's always a pleasure when you're on the show every single day of the week.
I appreciate you having me.
When you want to.
Yeah.
So
I always want to be on this show. And today's our most popular episode, Dumb Bleep of the Week. I know what you're thinking. Nate and Charlie, how could you possibly condense the dumbest bleep of the week down into one episode? Well,
we can't.
We can't. That's the answer. Yeah. Would these happen to be today's most dumb bleeps that we found? They can't do everything from the week because that's basically what we had to do all week because everything is dumb bleep.
Yes.
That's just how it is.
We could have recorded for 8 hours today.
It very, very, very definitely could have. Very definitely is a... one of the modes of speech that my mom taught in her English classes. That's how you're supposed to speak. More than definitely. It's very definitely. Most definitely, that is what we're going to be doing.
Mm.
Hey, guys, smash that subscribe button. Ouch. I just did acupuncture right before I came over here, and I was bleeding in like 8 spots today. Really weird.
Look, Nate, nobody cares about personal stories, okay? We saw that on the reviews.
You're right.
I don't want to hear about personal things, okay? Doesn't matter if you got a punctuation or an acupuncture. Doesn't matter.
I believe that people come here for the liberty and they stay for the personal stories and the liberty.
Yeah.
That's what they stay for.
Yeah.
I was thinking yesterday, like, new listeners probably have no idea just how important we are. By the way, we're laughing after I say that. So if you have no sense of humor or sarcasm, that is a joke. But Charlie and I played music together for a long time. We went to high school together. We've known each other for quite some time now. I sat above him in the order in band when we were playing trumpet together because I was at least a chair better than him all the time. And Charlie could hit those high notes, but man, I made him sound good. Yeah. All the time. Ooh, you guys hear that?
We played music trumpet together, and now Nate sits below me in the real world. Just one chair. Just one chair below me.
But I got the chair that mattered, which was the trumpet in high school band. That is the one that matters.
I'm not sure that that's what matters.
When you look back on your life, that's the chair that actually matters. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
Charlie,
yeah.
Tell me about the first. We're going to do a couple news items here before we get into the dumb bleep, and we do have a hard stop at 1 p.m. Central Standard Time today. So, Charlie, tell me about Moderna's CEO apparently listening to the podcast.
Yeah, we're going to run through these really quickly. So, Moderna's CEO says the world will have to live with COVID forever. No way. No way.
Say it ain't so.
I thought the flu was cured, but I guess we still get the flu shot every year. The CEO of COVID-19 vaccine maker Moderna warned Wednesday that the coronavirus that has brought world economies to a standstill and overwhelmed hospitals will be around forever. Public health officials and infectious disease experts have said there is a high likelihood that COVID-19 will become an endemic disease, meaning it will become present in communities at all times, though likely at lower levels than it is now. Moderna's CEO, Stephanie Bancel, appeared to agree Wednesday that COVID-19 will become
endemic.
Endemic. That's what I meant to say earlier.
Yeah.
Saying that SARS-CoV-2 is not going away. We're going to live with a virus, we think, forever. Now, who would have predicted this?
I don't know. Because from what I heard, we were going to have to stay locked down or wouldn't be able to do anything until it was cured, until it was gone.
Until there's
any amount of COVID was too much COVID.
Yeah.
We had to get rid of it.
One death from COVID is too many deaths.
But if you notice, when it first started, they were comparing it to the flu. And if you're going to compare something to the flu, then this idea that we're going to remove it from our society before we can do anything, before we can open our economy or see our family, is completely ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to live with the fact that people are going to die from COVID every single year. That's going to be a fact of life. Go back a year ago and listen to us talking about this almost a year ago. That is going to be a fact of life for the rest of us, for the rest of our lives.
Just
COVID
like,
is another thing on the list that human beings die from.
Just like the flu.
Just like the flu.
And guess what? COVID won't be the last one, by the way. There's going to be other viruses, man.
Are you creating them right now? Or
no, just saying they're going to mutate. I mean, think about like the different things. For instance, well, we just had, I know nobody cares about personal stories, but we just adopted a Great Dane. His name is Smokey. He's awesome. And he was unfortunately abused and also was left out basically to die and contracted heartworms. So he just went through heartworm treatment. Now, humans can't get heartworms. Thank mother trucking God that we can't get those things. That's disgusting.
That would be gross.
Those things lock in and just...
It would be putting just, people down if that were the case.
And so, but imagine one day... If that ever transfers over to humans.
Gross.
Yeah.
Real gross.
So I don't remember. I think they thought that he had about 8 adult heartworms and then obviously several babies and eggs. It's a very terrible treatment for them to go through. He almost died a couple times. But he made it. He made it through the treatment. He is now heartworm free, back on preventatives. And there are chances that these types of viruses and things can mutate. Some things we only see in animals can eventually transfer to humans, you know, and then these, especially viruses with the RNA, right? They're able to evolve and adapt very rapidly. We're already seeing different versions of COVID out there. It's mutating already. The reason why the flu vaccine doesn't work every single year is because there's so many different options for it to choose.
Yeah.
And they do their best guess on which type of flu is going to be the worst for people and try to make the vaccine around that. But it doesn't always work. And in the worst flu years, when the vaccine isn't great, you'll see 60, 70, 80, 90,000 deaths in the United States from it. So this is something we're going to live with forever. Go back to, I don't know, somewhere between episode 200 and 300.
Yeah.
Or 250 and 350. Listen to those.
And that's because at that time, people were basically saying that this was going to have to be eradicated before we could go back to normal life, you know, mm-hmm. seeing our families and going out to movies and stuff like that. It was going to have to be gone. It was never going to be gone. It's not going to be gone. This is the CEO of a vaccine manufacturer saying this is not going to be gone.
Well, finally,
we have a vaccine.
Now, finally, now science is saying what we were saying.
Yeah.
So we're no longer... We're no longer wrong anymore.
Yeah.
Getting backed up.
All right. So that's a bit of news for you guys. So adjust accordingly. Another bit of news, you know, we don't cover a lot of stuff like this because you can get labeled a conspiracy theorist or whatever. So we typically wait for actual news and hard evidence to come out. And I'm very strong at scrutinizing things.
Well, it's not that you can be labeled a conspiracy theorist. We just care about the truth and evidence of the truth.
Yeah.
So that's what we care about here. It's there are several things that I could possibly believe, but to be a rational thinker and to argue rationally, you have to have evidence to back things up. And so you can't just go off Alex Jones and things.
Yeah.
Now you can. I mean, the guy's got like 2 million followers or something like that. So you can go do that if you want to, but that's not what we believe in. What we believe in is the truth and getting down to evidence-based truth, that something that you could prove, let's say, in a dispute.
That doesn't mean that some things that are conspiracies labeled that way are not true.
Exactly.
That there's a lot. I believe, listen, you guys might not think this because we don't talk about all that stuff on this podcast. I'm likely to believe a lot of the stuff out there.
We could start a new show called Good Morning Conspiracy.
Yeah. Like, I default towards believing that a lot of the stuff is true.
That would be so fun. Can we create an explicit Good Morning Conspiracy show?
Lions Liberty does Conspiracy Corner, I think, or something like that, where they talk
just
conspiracies.
Just one my mom wouldn't listen to.
Just, we need to go under different names and don't tell anyone we know about it, so okay. We can just say whatever we want all the time.
So
you know?
We can't use that word.
Yeah.
Can't use that name anymore.
yeah, you can't do it now. But anyway, from Fox News here, whatever you think about Fox News, whatever, it's a news organization. Left-wing activist charged in Capitol riot after saying he was just there to document. All right, so you got to think about what this means. And I'm not saying that what happened at the Capitol was entirely due to BLM, Antifa, left-wing people inciting the riots and making
CNN
sure
reporters.
That this happened. CNN reporters, as we're going to play a video here in a second, that's going all around, got 2.2 million views here. I will urge caution with the video that we're going to play, because the woman, I can't call her a girl, the woman in the video.
We don't know how she identifies, but that's what she
appears to be a woman. So I can't even make that assumption. Has a mask on and a hat, and I don't know her, and I don't watch CNN, so I don't know who she is. The video says that she is a CNN reporter, I believe. I'm going to go by that, but I'm also going to say that I don't specifically know she is a CNN reporter. I would love to hear an explanation from CNN on this. But anyway, the Fox News article, left-wing activist is charged. And so I'll go through the article here, but you got to think about why this is important and what this means. Number one, anyone who says that there weren't any outside actors, that these were only crazy, violent, right-wing, extremist, white supremacists that were going in here to do this, and only those kind of people would do this threat on our democracy, and we have to remove all these people from our society because they're a cancer in our society. It is also possibly true that there were left-wing activists there that were also trying to get the riot going with other ulterior motives, which would be to make the right look worse. Mm-hmm. That does not absolve anyone that is on the right of anything that they did wrong. The Ashley Babbitt that went in there, very clearly not a left-wing activist. Like, we know that. Mm-hmm. We know she's not a left-wing activist. And she was in there. So it does not absolve anyone of any kind of wrongdoing whatsoever. So let's go through here. A left-wing activist told Fox News last week he'd follow the pro-Trump mob into the Capitol in order to document the siege, is now the subject of a criminal complaint in connection with his alleged participation, according to the U.S. Justice Department. John Sullivan can allegedly be heard egging on protesters in video he provided to the FBI.
Is egging the same thing as inciting?
It's kind of. Kind of, yeah. According to the federal criminal complaint. He has also shared the video to his YouTube and Twitter accounts under the pseudonym Jaden X. He was charged Thursday in federal court in Washington after being arrested by the FBI. He remains in custody in Tooele County in his home state of Utah. James Sullivan, the man's brother, told Fox 13 News he gave tips about his brother to the Salt Lake City FBI. Woo! James Sullivan said he found out that his brother was at the Capitol when friends posted pictures online. Inside the building, he told rioters, "We got to get this S word burned." And it's our house. MF-er. It just says M dash dash dash. Yeah. Could have said anything.
It's our house, mother.
It's our house, mother. According to an affidavit signed at FBI. Now, that doesn't sound like he's just documenting. He's in there saying, we got to burn this thing down. This is our house. I wouldn't burn down my own house, but I don't know. He faces federal charges of civil disorder, entering a restricted building, and violent entry or disorderly conduct. Sullivan also allegedly told Faller that he had been in the Capitol during the riot, entering through a broken window while wearing a ballistic vest. As protesters climbed over a wall near the Capitol entrance, he allegedly exclaimed in the video, "You guys are effing savage. Let's go." Quote, "There are so many people," Sullivan's voice can heard saying, and the camera shows a large group of people making its way toward the building. "Let's go. This blank is ours. Blank, yeah. I can't believe this is reality. We accomplished this blank," he said in another point. "We did this together. F yeah. We are part of this history." Okay. Huh. So.
It sounds like documenting.
Now, what, yeah. What I would really want is honestly just for people on the left to acknowledge that there could have been left-wing activists there egging on the protesters and trying to drive things forward in an attempt to make the whole thing, the whole riot look worse and reflect negatively on the right wing. Uh-huh. Okay. That is what I would love for people to acknowledge. More than likely, they'll never acknowledge that this actually happened.
No.
And they wouldn't acknowledge this very odd 30-second clip from an alleged CNN reporter, Jade Sacker, with what she says. And so we'll play the clip for you. And you know, just do your own due diligence and figure out what all this stuff means. But we have to also realize that there are people playing games here on both sides. And I think it's always good to keep an open mind about everything. All right.
And this is very interesting.
I'm just saying it's interesting. Mm-hmm. That's all I have. So let me play this real quick for y'all.
I'll give you your hug now. We did it. You were right. We did it.
Dude, I was trying to tell you. I couldn't say much.
You were right.
You just have to wash my chest.
Oh my God.
Is this not going to be the best film you've ever made in your life? No. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah?
Hell yeah.
Wait, you're recording, are you?
I'll delete that shit. But I didn't record you.
I gotta play that part again. Hold on. The CNN reporter, or whatever she is, I don't know what she does at CNN, says, "You weren't recording, were you?" And he says, "I'll delete that shit. Don't worry about it." That part's really good. Let me play that again.
Wait, you're recording, are you?
I'll delete that shit. But I didn't record you or me. It was just voices.
I didn't record you or me, just voices.
I didn't record you or me, just voices.
Her face is clearly right there.
Okay.
So.
Now this is, I just think what I just tweeted out on our Twitter account, which you can follow, at GoodAMLiberty.
As long as it's up.
As long as it's still there. Sorry, I was just reading through some of the comments. What I tweeted out was, I think we deserve an explanation from CNN on this. Just something. That's it. I'm not trying to say that it's true. I don't even know who the girl is. All I want to see is CNN should post and say, that's not who that is, and that's not what you think it is. She was just documenting, and she deserves to be on the no-fly list like all the other people put on the no-fly right. list that were there documenting. And to be banned from Facebook and all this other stuff,
right?
Because she was there documenting. But anyway, guys, that's take from that what you will. What do you take from that, Charles?
Well, just more hypocrisy, and also the fact that this wasn't incited by Trump to actually storm the Capitol and break in.
Yeah.
To it. I mean, I was reading other articles too about how one guy that's arrested came from Washington the day before with an assault rifle and 2,500 rounds of ammo.
Yeah.
So how did Trump's speech then follow the next day, incite him the day before to travel from Colorado all the way to Washington, D.C. with 2,500 rounds of ammo?
How did everyone have time to go buy zip ties at the store before they went to the Capitol after the end of Trump's speech? You know, there was a zip tie seller there on the side of the road is actually what it was.
Yeah.
They were just in case, you know, the front bumper broke off your car. They were there to help you out.
Yeah. The other thing I take from this is that the people that actually, you know, broke into that broke the law, let's say, although, you know, this whole charge of entering in a restricted building, it's the freaking building we pay for.
Yeah.
It's filled with marble and gold mahogany.
I've never seen inside that. Everyone that broke in there, you could see why they were just slowly walking through that room, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
So, anyway, what I'm saying is that the people who did it are, you know, the extreme example. It's not the bulk of the people who voted for Donald Trump that wanted to go in there. And then the person calling, what it sounds like is the person calling to burn things down and encourage people to commit some violence. It seems like it would be someone who actually identifies on the left and not the right. And he's self-proclaimed, by the way. I'm not making this up. This guy is a self-proclaimed Antifa guy. So it's just interesting. And it makes complete sense that the people who actually committed the crimes they're being charged with were extremists. They weren't the bulk representation of the majority of the people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which also further proves the point that Trump didn't actually incite any violence.
I know that. And I think legally that's going to come out to be very clear. There was obviously a lot of talk. I believe we talked yesterday about them opening up the investigation into this being pre-planned. They've already pushed through the impeachment of him inciting people at this speech to go riot the Capitol. That's already been pushed through. That's already going to be part of history. It's not really going to matter to anyone that is on the left whatsoever. I don't know, keep an open mind about stuff. Always be skeptical about everything, even if it's something that you agree with. Like, I see this, I'm like, oh yeah, CNN reporter, BLM activist, this was a stage. This was all incited by left-wing activists. Okay, I want to believe that. But I'm going to have to do a lot of personal digging to figure that out. And more than likely, I wouldn't be right about that. I believe the blame is going to be shared. You know, if Charlie tells me to jump off a bridge, I'm not going to do it unless there's a, I don't know, how big is the paycheck? Who knows? I might do it.
Well, and how, you know, how tall is the bridge?
Yeah. Okay. So that's, could that be dumb bleep number one? Is that a dumb bleep? Or do you want to start with Biden?
Let's start with Biden.
Okay.
I think
okay.
It's just some news because we don't know for sure.
Yeah, we don't.
So.
Well, Charlie, tell me about dumb bleep number one.
Okay, here we go. This is going to take a while. It's maybe the only dumb bleep. Should we go through others really quick?
We could. Yeah, we could do that.
Okay. So let's start with another one. This is from Liberty Hangout. I can't remember the girl's name, but obviously this girl gained a massive following. Girl, woman, I don't know. She looks younger. I think
don't
she's
know
in
her
college.
Age.
She's younger than me. So anyway, Liberty Hangout, which appears to be libertarian, but is not, is actually very conservative, which is fine if you're a conservative, no big deal. But anyway, they tweeted out, this happened 4 days ago, if you're not with Trump, then you're a communist. Simple as that. Now, kudos for taking a play out of the left's playbook by alienating the other side, essentially. But she said, if you're not with Trump, then you're a communist. Simple as that. which is a pretty good dumb bleep because it's just not true.
Not true at all.
No, it's completely false. Now, I understand what she's doing here. And like I said, I think it's a genius move because this is what the left does all the time. You know, I mean, Joe Biden said, if you don't vote for him, then you're not black.
Yeah, I mean... And if you're with, they will pretty much say, if you are with Trump, you're a white supremacist.
Yeah, you're a Nazi. You know?
So, I mean, yeah, it is taking a page out of the playbook, but that is a really, really stupid thing to say. I am very upset that she has the page. It is Caitlin Bennett, her name. Not libertarian at all. And as libertarians, we have the authority to tell people when they're not libertarian. That's one of the bylaws, I believe. But not libertarian at all. You've seen some funny videos with her. I saw the one pop up the other day where she was asking the guy about, you know, the tampons in the men's restroom and stuff like that. And the guy's like, I don't care. You know, if you want a tampon, like that's your problem. She's like, do you think they should seek medical advice? He's like, I don't know if they want to, I don't care. I mean, that guy was a libertarian.
Yeah.
You know, but this idea that if you're not with Trump, you're a communist. That's a very dangerous rhetoric, and you also have to be mindful of the fact that Trump signed every spending bill every year, okay? He signed every spending bill. Our debt exploded, obviously. There's no proof that Trump was going to stop us from heading towards a massive big government that's eventually going to collapse in on itself in some kind of way. And to me, they all lead in the same direction. I consider fascism and socialism and communism to all be basically the same thing, especially when it comes to human rights and individual rights.
They all lead to tyranny.
They all lead to the same thing, in my opinion. That kind of rhetoric is really stupid. You can definitely be against Trump and not be a communist. That's a ridiculous statement to make, and it does nothing to help that movement whatsoever. But it does get a lot of retweets. So it does get that.
Yep.
I don't know. So that's... Is that number one?
The stumbleep number one.
Okay. All right. Well, Charlie, you tell me about Mayor Lori Lightfoot then. Dumbleep number two.
Oh, Beetlejuice.
Mayor Sheetlejuice.
So this guy, when you sent this to me, I just laughing's the only thing that I can think of to do. Mayor Lori Beetlejuice Lightfoot wants to reopen restaurants and bars as quickly as possible to reduce risk of underground parties.
That's what she's identified as the biggest risk.
Yes.
Underground parties.
This is coming from CBS Local in Chicago. Lori Lightfoot on Thursday said Chicago restaurants and bars need to be allowed to reopen as quickly as possible, not just to help those businesses survive, but also after half of them have already closed down for good.
Yeah.
But also to cut down on instances of private parties where people don't take proper precautions against COVID-19. Under the state's virus mitigation plan, Chicago's restaurants and bars were forced to halt indoor service in late October, while Governor J.B. Pritzker has had a fine time dining out himself, has said some regions of the state can begin rolling back some COVID-19 restrictions starting Friday if they meet certain virus thresholds. Reopening of indoor dining wouldn't happen until each region moves back at least three more phases, and Chicago is not yet on track to begin easing restrictions. Thursday morning, Lightfoot said she plans to have a conversation with the governor about how to begin rolling back virus mitigation efforts ASAP. I want to get our restaurants and bars reopened as quickly as possible, she said. I don't have to keep going on this, but it's just interesting to me. And now this is the second person that we've seen who've done nothing but, you know, say we need to lock down forever, essentially.
Yeah. And if you want to reopen, you don't care about lives.
Right.
You just care about money. Mm-hmm.
You're just greedy. You're just a greedy capitalist restaurant owner. And the, you know, safety is more important. But now, all of a sudden, we're seeing these same people come out, like Cuomo, and saying that, well, there's just too high of a cost. You know, we need to get these places open all the time. She said, if we have people and give them an outlet for entertainment in the restaurant space and the bar space, we have much more of an opportunity, in my view, to be able to regulate and control that environment. People are engaging in risky behavior, and it's not only putting themselves at risk, but putting their families, their coworkers, and other ones at risk. Let's bring it out of the shadows. Let's allow them to have some recreation in restaurants and bars where we can actually work with responsible owners and managers to regulate and protect people from COVID-19. So it's just...
It's actually a pretty good argument for drug legalization, in my opinion.
It's like a pretty good argument for everything.
Her problem is that people are able to, right now, instead of just doing things out in the open, actually, this is a good argument for
literally anything.
Free speech, all kinds of stuff. Her argument is that what they're doing is not actually keeping people safer, because what's happening is there is still a black market for people being around other human beings and trying to have fun and trying to socialize with people.
Latest reports indicate that speakeasies are at a record openings as of late.
So it's, you know, you're going
to talk to Tony.
Talk to Tony, give him the handshake. Yeah. You're going to have these black markets pop up in everything. Anytime the government tries to control something, people are going to do what they want to do. They're going to get together and have parties. That's what they're going to, they have to see each other in some kind of way. So they're having these parties, and I just said in some kind of way. Oh yeah, I do it. remember yesterday?
Yeah, that's right.
Woo. I got to pay attention to
you
that.
You just caught yourself.
I did.
Some kind of way.
Caught myself in the act. All right. So what they want to do is make sure that if you are going to get together, that they have a chance to control that, that that is what they really want. They want to make sure that if you are going to be around your friends and if you're going to be around other people, they're going to have a chance to control that. But even more on top of that, what you're really seeing here is now that the election is over, people are coming back and saying, well, maybe we could open up the economy and it wouldn't just be the worst thing in the world. Maybe we could allow people to do this and we'll just try to regulate them while they're out there. And we'll make sure they're all wearing masks and we'll make sure everything's being kept clean and all that. But you know, we're just going to have to let them do what they want to do.
Then we'll hear about how Joe Biden reopened the economy.
Yeah.
And how all these Democrat leaders reopen the economy after Trump forced them to shut it down.
Good Lord.
That's going to be the news.
That would be the proper thing to do.
Hey, you heard it here first, man.
It would be the proper thing to do with some gaslighting. That is.
Magoo said fight clubs are also on the rise, but you didn't hear that from me.
We need to join a fight club.
Yeah, no one's talking about it.
I wouldn't fare well, I don't think. I did take those boxing classes. I will tell you what. That was the hardest thing I ever did.
Personal stories again, man.
I just can't believe you're
throwing that in here. We're supposed to stick to straight libertarianism.
All right, so
don't veer off the path.
My bad. Dumb bleep number two is Mayor Beetlejuice Lightfoot deciding that maybe we should open up the economy. Weird. Isn't that weird? Okay.
How many boxing sessions did you do, though?
I did a month's worth of boxing sessions twice a week, so however many that was.
Pop someone in the mouth.
I learned a few good techniques that are, you know, just basically making sure you're putting your weight on the right side and that you're, you know, you're getting all your momentum
in the right direction.
So, on the left side. Yeah, that's fine.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was tough.
Take me to dumb bleep number three.
Dumb bleep number three. Now, this just, you know, I don't think this one's going to win, but it's worth a dumb bleep, in my opinion. This is from, well, I'll tell you who it's from here in a sec.
Nate Gold Glove Thurston.
What happened, this is a tweet. What happened in D.C. last night was horrible. This is obviously from last week, but it deserves to be subjugated to our dumb bleep criterion. I don't know what that means. What happened in D.C. last night was horrible. These terrorists broke into the Capitol and were being violent towards these poor police officers. Now, this was tweeted from BLM Emily ACAB.
That's what makes it great. Because the tweet itself just sounds like a normal tweet. But then you see the person. Now, that's their name, but it's also their handle.
The actual handle.
BLM Emily ACAB.
For those of you who don't know what ACAB stands for, it is all cops are bastards.
Yeah.
Would be the actual thing. And she's very worried about the terrorists being violent towards these poor police officers. I mean, can you make this stuff up?
No.
Could you actually come up with something? I don't know. I don't really know if there's any way that you could come up with some of the crazy stuff we've even seen this week. I mean, it's like worthy of movies, in my opinion.
Oh, Daisy caught the spelling error too. I didn't even see this, but it's actually violet.
Oh, I see that.
Instead of violent. Yeah. Terrorist, you're turning violet.
I hate it when people are violent towards people.
Yeah.
All right, the next one.
Violet is never the answer.
That's dumb bleep number three. Poor police officers, also ACAB. The next one down, Charles, comes from the VP-elect.
Mm-hmm.
This is
Kamala.
This to me was a bit of a, it doesn't really go in teaching with her words that she's been telling everyone. You know, you read it for everyone and see if they can figure out why this is so dumb.
Okay, Kamala says, in 8 days, we'll show every child in America, regardless of their color or gender, that there are no limits to who can lead and hold positions of power in our country. Unless I put you in jail.
Well, it was an odd tweet to me, considering what I heard was that there are limits to who can lead and hold positions of power in our country. and that that's, you know, the system that we have to destroy. That there's no way you can get ahead. You can't make it in the power unless you're an old white man.
But now somehow they are.
But she's going to show people that there are no limits to who can lead in the whole positions in our country. Does that go into...
I didn't even get that.
With her, with what she talks about.
That's so great.
At all. Can those two things exist at the same time?
Well, they can if you're on the left.
You're held down. You can't get ahead. Everything that's bad in your life is because of white supremacists. Also, I'm going to show you, there are no limits to who can get ahead in our country.
Capitalism is holding you down. The greedy, evil, rich people control everything. We have to destroy the system. But I'm going to show you that you can actually get ahead.
And like what Aaron just said, she forgot about what happened in 2008. You know, when we had a black president for 8 years.
Right. How about that?
How about that?
It's just the gender part now.
Yeah.
That's important.
Okay. Well, now we can get to, that was dumb bleat number four. Kamala Harris, VP Harris. You can't get ahead, but also you can. Dumb bleat number three. BLM Emily is worried about the poor police officers. Also, ACAB at the same time. Mayor Beetlejuice Lightfoot, that's dumb bleep number two, wants everything to reopen. And dumb bleep number one so far is Liberty Hangout. If you're not with Trump, you're a communist. And so now we'll get to dumb bleep number five.
And now.
The final dumb bleep. And Charlie, well, maybe we'll tag team this article.
The main event.
We're going to be in and out of this article for sure.
Especially if we tag team it.
God. He went there, folks.
Yeah.
Oh man, more personal stories, huh? Biden. Are you reading this or am I?
I'll start.
Okay.
So Biden, I'm sure you guys have seen this, but I'm sure y'all have seen this, guys and gals. Girls and ladies and women.
Y'all.
And men. And a woman.
Y'all.
Biden unveils $1.9 trillion economic and health care relief package. Oh, this is what we need, folks. This is just what we need. More bailouts, more stimulus, more debt. Because now they've proven that we can just print the money and nothing bad happens.
Why do we even have taxes anymore?
I don't know. From the Washington Post, President-elect Joe Biden laid out a $1.9 trillion emergency relief. We're still in emergency stages, folks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Emergency relief plan Thursday night that will serve as an early test of his ability to steer the nation out of a pandemic, disaster, and rapidly deteriorating economy, and his promise to unite a divided Congress. Yeah, they're all about uniting. Right?
Very big into the unity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The wide-ranging package is designed to take aim at the twin crises Biden will confront upon taking office Wednesday, with provisions delivering direct aid to American families, businesses, and communities, and a major focus on coronavirus testing and vaccine production and delivery as the pandemic surges. Biden's proposal is divided into three major areas: $400 billion for provisions to fight the coronavirus with more vaccines and testing, while reopening schools, more than $1 trillion in direct relief to families, including through stimulus payments and increased unemployment insurance benefits, and $440 billion for aid to communities and businesses. When they say communities, they mean states that are going bankrupt. That's what they actually mean. Including, the next part says that, including $350 billion in emergency funding to state, local, and tribal governments, because all your governments are bankrupt. The proposal will aim to make good on Biden's plan for a universal vaccination program, devoting $20 billion to that goal, as well as $50 billion for a massive expansion of testing and $130 billion to help schools reopen. Among the many goals laid out in the proposal, Biden hopes to deliver 100 million vaccine shots in 100 days and reopen a majority of K-12 public schools at that time frame. Really? They can't even get 75% of healthcare workers to take the vaccine that's available right now, but you're going to deliver 100 million shots in just 100 days. The legislation includes a number of priorities sought by top congressional Democrats, including some of the more liberal members, from increasing. Oh, God, this is the part.
This is where it gets dumb.
This is where it gets good. The legislation includes a number of priorities sought by top congressional Democrats, including some of the most liberal members, from increasing the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour to adding billions in funding for childcare. So This is what they're rolling up into this emergency relief plan, by the way, folks. This is emergency relief. We're at our last straw. We're going to increase the federal minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Does that mean they're going to lower it back down after we're no longer in an emergency? That's normally how governments doing things during emergencies works, right? They take away those emergency relief items.
It must be, because it says emergency. That's what it says.
And remember, we started this podcast with Moderna CEO saying that we would never be rid of the coronavirus. Yes, this is all pre-planned. I do organize the show.
Uh-huh.
All right.
You're welcome. Biden called for increasing federal unemployment benefits from $300 per week to $400 per week for millions of jobless Americans. The benefits would be extended through September, preventing millions of people from losing their jobless aid in March, as would occur under current law. Biden's plan states that he will also seek to link the level of unemployment benefits to general economic factors so that benefits increase automatically when the unemployment rate spikes.
Which it will do after they double the federal minimum wage.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
So, somehow, millions more people have lost their jobs. As expected, Biden's proposal would also increase from $600 to $2,000 per person the stimulus payments approved by Congress last month. Trump enthusiastically endorsed the 2,000 stimulus payments, as did congressional Democratic leaders, but many Republicans opposed the idea. Biden's plan would also expand eligibility for the stimulus payments to families where one parent is an immigrant, as well as to adult children claimed as dependents on their parents' tax returns. So still nothing to do with people who make over $75,000 a year, including the year of the pandemic.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about minimum wage yet, or do you want to finish? I guess we only have two paragraphs left here.
Yeah, we can finish the whole thing and then talk about all of it. A major expansion of tax credits is also included in the Biden's proposal. For children and lower-income workers, Biden's plan would expand a tax credit for children to $3,600 a year per child under six.
Good God!
As well as $3,000 a year for children under 17.
I really missed the boat on having kids, I'll tell you that. Yeah. Who would have known that was such a good income plan?
It's a cash cow, man. It would also, you have 10 of them. Can make $36,000 a year off 10 kids. It would also extend eligibility for the credit to millions of very poor families and would dramatically boost the earned income tax credit, a benefit for workers, from $530 to $1,500. Biden's plan also contains new initiatives aimed at buoying the ailing U.S. economy, such as a combined 14 weeks of paid sick and family medical leave.
14 weeks.
14 weeks, folks.
14. Can I get a percentage count on that, please? Was that 28%?
Yeah.
Is it something like that? I don't know what that is.
Something.
Someone crunch the. Give me a number crunch on that.
12 weeks would be 3 months. So.
Good God.
It would provide grants to more than 1 million small businesses and approve about $35 billion towards making low interest loans available, particularly for clean energy investments. This is emergency relief, folks.
Emergency.
Emergency relief.
And for what? Why? Why do we need it?
Well, right here, it tells you at the end, Nate. Biden's plan would put tens of billions of dollars into other needs facing the country, from food and water assistance, food stamps, and funding for U.S. territories such as Puerto Rico. So we need all of this because we need emergency relief from the pandemic.
Okay.
Nate, this is emergency relief. Package.
Okay, so this is tough, and people in the group are talking about, you know, just how this doesn't make us so angry we're not blowing up. That's what I saw anyway. And when I read this last night, I was in a trance. I should not read anything political before trying to go to bed or trying to do anything. I was staring at the wall.
Because then you dream about it.
Yeah. I mean, you know when you hit that breaking point and you're like just staring at the wall and you can't function?
And yesterday we were talking about hope.
Yeah.
Not giving up.
I still have hope. Listen, we knew this was coming anyway. I didn't quite expect them to go for the $15 an hour minimum wage tied to the COVID relief stimulus bill.
Why not?
At the same, and I don't know why.
They said it to your face in cursive.
I don't know why.
Last year in your face in cursive, they said it right to you. Never let a good crisis go to waste.
I know.
They said it out loud.
It is, oh my God. So let's break this down with a couple key points here. I think it's the minimum wage, and I think it's the 14 weeks of paid sick leave.
Also, the child tax credits.
The child tax credits are insane. We already have a point where the bottom 50% of the country, their effective tax rate at the end of the year is 2.2%, something like that, is what they end up paying. Now, listen, I want everyone's effective tax rate to be zero. That is what I want it to actually be. But listen, I come from a town where people will literally sell their kids earned income tax credit. Like that's a thing that people do to make sure that they maximize it. They'll make sure that kids get listed under different people, that whatever the limits are, to make sure that as much money is getting brought in as possible. Okay, that's an actual thing that happens in even really, really small towns where we just got the internet a couple of years ago.
You're also further incentivizing single household families.
I know.
Because the less people you have making an income in a certain family and the more kids you have, well, the more money you make.
To me, the most egregious part here, you got to start from the beginning. We have this pandemic. The economy gets shut down. Tons of businesses get closed down. A lot of people go out of business. Tons of businesses going out of business.
Closed permanently.
Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people, their lives are completely changed from this. And businesses are barely getting by. And in the relief bill, they raise the minimum wage up to $15 an hour and, on top of that, increase the unemployment insurance weekly at the same time. They know what's going to happen from this. They know it's going to push people out of work. They know tons of businesses are going to go out of business and a lot of people are going to lose their jobs from this. They know it. They absolutely know it. Not only can businesses barely afford to survive right now in the current economy, but when you talk about raising the minimum wage up to $15 an hour, I got to tell you, a lot of businesses can't afford that. A lot of businesses can't. We've done the math. The biggest businesses in the world would have a hard time doing that without drastically reducing the amount of employees they have or drastically raising their prices.
Or a combination.
Or replacing all of their cashiers with computers. Things like this. Or
the self-checkouts.
People who stock their shelves with robots. All of these kinds of things. And then what do you need eventually? You need a UBI after that because technology is taking everyone's jobs. That's not... Okay, now I'm getting mad. Hold on. Everyone calm down a second. It is by far the most egregious
thing. It's almost like you could see the writing on the wall. That's why you were staring at the wall. You could see the writing.
I was looking at the writing on it. Yes. And it said we're fucked. That's what it said. That's what the writing on the wall said. No, this
is... Was it written in code or spelled out?
Oh, it just said it. It was written in blood, I'm pretty sure. That was it.
Clear as mud.
And clear as mud right there. It said we are effed. All right. This is not... If you're even a proponent of raising the minimum wage... Let's say we agree with it 100% wholeheartedly. We thought it was a great idea, which it isn't. This would still not be the time to do that. It is the worst time to do that for all the people who have businesses. You know who can survive this? The massive businesses that have been able to be open all year and keep going. Amazon's going to be fine. They already raised their minimum wage to $15 an hour.
Right.
Walmart will be fine because they've got a stockpile of cash and they're big enough. They have enough stores. They can adjust. They can adjust their prices up a little bit to make sure that they can afford to do this. All these people who lie to you, telling you that they care about the mom and pop shops and the small businesses and they hate the big corporations and they hate all of those people who have so much business and so many... They're lying to you because these policies are killers of small businesses. You know, I've been talking about my dad having a grocery store for a long time. He finally got rid of it because Illinois has been raising their minimum wage. And I can't afford to pay people $15 an hour there.
Not only that, you're not taking into consideration the wage devaluation. Of other people who are making more than $15 an hour right now.
If you're making 15 bucks an hour, you better believe you expect your pay to go up to like 18, 19, 20 bucks an hour. You think states who already have $15 an hour minimum wage, you think they're going to be okay remaining at $15 an hour? No. Now they want 20 because they were already getting paid more because they were in New York and California and the living expenses are higher there. And $15 an hour, well, that's what someone in the middle of Arkansas is making working at a gas station. We live in LA. I can't just be making $15 an hour. I need to make $22 an hour. That's what it actually needs to be. This insane idea that everyone around the country needs to be making the same minimum wage, even if you went down that road, that doesn't even make any sense. You can get, if you wanted to, you could get a trailer and you could live on some land and you could pay $250 a month for the trailer, which a lot of people do. I lived in the trailer for a long time. You should see them these days. They're nice.
Yeah.
They're nice.
I've seen some.
I mean, seriously.
Seen some nice ones.
You could pay $200-$300 a month for a mobile home of some kind. And guess what? You don't exactly have to be making $15 an hour to get by and pay all. Not everyone has the same bills. Not every state and every county and every city has the same living expenses.
Everyone deserves a home, Nate.
I'm not talking about their homes. I'm just saying that you can't say 15 applies to every worker in the country.
But the average rent in downtown Nashville, Nate, is $1,600 a month.
I know.
How can I afford that with three kids on my own?
That is a common, terrible argument comparing the average cost of something and saying that if you make the lowest wage, you wouldn't be able to afford it. If you're going to talk about someone making the lowest wage, then talk about what the lowest price thing would cost.
No, Nate. You got to talk about the averages and the lowest.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to talk about the average cost of living, then let's talk about the average wage of everyone.
Yeah.
That would be the way that you would have to make that comparison.
But you can see this happening. They're doing this on purpose because they know. And as somebody in the group said, I can't remember who they said, but essentially what they're doing is they're just continuing their voting base. You're going to push all these people into unemployment, then they're going to get the benefits, and they're going to be dependent on making sure their lives can go around based on what the government's giving them, and then they'll never vote for anyone else, but who's going to keep those benefits going?
Yeah.
And turns out we're all selfish. Imagine that.
It's... Well, I guess we can go on to the other stuff too, but we've done a lot of episodes on minimum wage. Over the weekend, I'll repost something, about that, but, let's go ahead and get the voting going for Dumb Bleep of the Week because we do have a hard stop at one, and Joe Biden's economic relief package is number five. Number four, was Kamala Harris saying that people can get ahead no matter what your color or gender is. Number three was BLM Emily ACAB talking about poor police officers. Number two was Mayor Beetlejuice. Number one was Liberty Hangout. If you're not with Trump, you're a communist. And while you guys are getting those votes in, I'm going to tell you guys about mastermindstonks.com. Use the promo code SAVE20 if you want to start trading in the stonk market. Just had a couple new signups the other day. The class is growing like crazy. A lot of people taking advantage of this money that the government is creating out of thin air and just handing to you. Take it and turn it into more money. Go learn something.
That's how you combat inflation. That's coming.
Go learn something so you can grow the money and you don't care what's going on with all of this stuff. Because at the end of the day, I'm not going to be affected by this unless Bernie Sanders' stock market tax goes into effect. If that happens, then we'll be done trading. Everyone needs to realize that. If the stock market tax goes into effect, there will be no more day trading. It'll be done at that point.
Be too expensive.
It'll be gone. But anyway, go to mastermystonks.com. Get all of that knowledge built up inside your brain hole and use the promo code SAVE20 for 20% off your first 2 months. Who won?
Well, Joe said if you don't vote for number five, then you're a communist.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess
number five by far. And I think the dumbest part about Joe Biden's plan, in my estimation, is the fact that they're calling it emergency relief. And then they're sticking in all of the Democratic, campaign points.
I mean, economy, life-changing economy, changing long-term plans that are not emergency in this current situation at all.
Aaron said he saw the spike at 12:59 Central, all for Biden. Somehow it all came through. Daisy said someone actually told her, at least when Biden lies, he'll be nice about it.
Yeah.
That's what I love. I want people to lie to me, my face nicely. Don't lie to me with your anger. Lie to me nicely. Anyway, Dumb Bleep number five wins, of course. We expected that. And it's just absurd. And as we predicted, this is what's going to happen.
We'll talk more about it next week. We did run up against our hard stop here, so yeah. So we got to get going. But the minimum wage raise is the worst part of this, in my opinion.
Sign up for Patreon, folks. If you want to be part of the live group, patreon.com/goodmorningliberty. You can get a 15% discount for signing up for the whole year. We're still getting more signups, so appreciate all you guys signing up. Hit that subscribe button. Share the show with a friend, with an enemy. Share it with Hunter Biden. He might need to hear about liberty, I think.
Sure.
From what I heard. So if you guys do all of that, then we'll be back again on Monday. Hope you have a good day and a good morning, Liberty.